Okay, welcome to the next edition of the Tefillah Shir of our Power of Prayer classes. We're going to do something unique this time in that there is no live studio audience for this recording. So we won't be getting feedback on the spot. But I am interested in hearing what everyone thinks about this new format, if they prefer it, if they like the other way better, or no difference. Please message me, let me know what you think. I'll just say another comment. I offered last class Siddurim prayer books for anybody interested, especially the ones that I'll be using, so that they can find the page number when I refer to a specific prayer. And that offer was taken up. Thankfully, I'm happy to say that we were able to give out some Siddurim, and the offer still stands, so please reach out to me. Let's keep going. We're going to move along quickly like we try to do. We spoke last time about the beginning prayers, that first Moda Ani. I hope everyone implemented that one, and at least those who say it already put a little bit more intention and heart into their prayer. That was the Moda Ani, what we say still in bed, and we were trying to wake up happy and ready to go to have a successful day. We then spoke the next small prayer, and that was about the wisdom of the Torah and the interaction between Torah and Tefillah, prayer and Torah study, two foundations of Judaism, and how they play together, where you really need Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem, you need that fear of heaven, which comes through prayer, in order to study Torah. For a person to really study and delve into wisdom and understand things, as important that is in Judaism, they have to be well-founded in their fear of heaven, which is developed and focused on through prayer. Now, we are more ready to begin. So the next step is adult men put on talis and tefillin. We're not going to discuss that. I don't think that's really... Although it's customary to wear your talis and tefillin by the morning prayers, that is not strictly part of the prayers. And so we're going to skip over that. Maybe we'll give a series one day on that about talis and about tefillin. There's certainly a lot of very important messages there. Here we go. On to the next thing. And we're up to a series of three songs. And that is how we start our davening. You come to shul and you'll say these three songs. So we're going to discuss them. We'll see how far we get today. The first one, let's go one at a time, is Matovu, okay, Matovu, Adon Olam, and Yigdal. Certainly we're going to translate everything. So the first one is Matovu. It's not actually a song. It's often sung, meaning there are parts of davening that you can sing anything. You could take words from a letter and just sing them. And then there are things that are written to be songs. So how do I know what's written to be a song and what's we're just adding tunes to, so you can tell from the way they're written and the length of each line and how they rhyme one with the next. So the next two, the second two of these songs are really songs, but the first one is not. It's actually just a series of psukim, series of verses from the Torah and the really mostly Tehillim. What mostly Tehillim, not the first one. What is it about? I asked quite a few people, took an informal survey of what these prayers, what this first song, Matovu, is about, and I got pretty bad answers. So I guess there is what to learn, there is what to discuss, even if you've been saying this for many years as a little child, you've been singing it. In some ways, that is a disadvantage when you've been singing it since a little child. You have the little child viewpoints of the prayer, and not able to mature at all. So what it is the thing we say, it actually has to do with coming into shul. When you come into your shul, into your synagogue, you say Matovu, and that's what it's about. It's not so much about davening a little bit, but it's more about being in shul and davening in shul. And it's not really any of our own words. It's just a series of five psukim about shul. Now you would think if I'm going to talk about shul, you would have hundreds, I don't know how many psukim, right? It's a big focus in the Torah. And I think here's a good opportunity for us to discuss for a moment that it's really not a very big focus. And it's surprisingly, if you read through, if you think about it a little bit, yes, while shul may be for a lot of people the center of their Judaism, it's not supposed to be. It's not meant like that. It's clear from the Torah that that's not what it's about. It's a nice thing. You have to even question yourself historically, what type of role, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, was there even a role when there wasn't formal prayer? Was there even anything like this gathering place, like a Beis Knesset, like a shul, like a place for davening? But let's even just talk today, what type of role it has. I don't want to go too much into the history of it. What is it and what is it not? So it's not. Judaism is not a shul-centered religion, unlike some other religions. It's not shul-centered. It's much more, if anything, any structure, it's much more home-centered. That's where it is. And that's a very important message. It really explains a lot of things we do. It answers a lot of questions that some people have. Sometimes they put too much of a focus on the shul and the honors given there. And I don't want to bring up too much controversy, but sometimes people understand that Judaism is male dominated. I think that is if you focus on the shul. And maybe, again, that's something to discuss and something to think about. If you focus on the shul, if that's the center of the religion, then the shul sometimes, not sometimes, is Orthodox shuls are male dominated. But if you go to a Jewish home, which is really where it's at, who dominates there? you know, if you see Jewish tables across the world, you see by the Shabbos table, even there where the husband is making Kiddush, I don't know very many husbands who make Kiddush without first looking over to their wives and saying, is it okay if I make Kiddush? So you see who calls the shots and who inspires over there, who gives the Yirat Shamayim, the fear of heaven, the heart and the energy of the Judaism. It's clear it's in the home, and like I said, that's a very important way of looking at it. But this tefillah is about the shul. What is a shul? What is the role of the shul if it's not that important? So that's what we're going to see in this davening. What does a shul give you? So let's start, and then we'll see. So the first one is a very famous line, Matovu O'alecha Yaakov. And again, I also want to cover, what about those of us who are davening at home? Can they still read this paragraph? And how to understand it? And the answer is yes, you could and should read it. But let's try to see how the home relates to this. So Matovu O'alecha Yaakov, how good are your tents, Yaakov? Mishkonosecha Yisrael, your Mishkons, your dwelling places, Yisrael. And it's actually, it's interesting, that line is interpreted in two different ways. Some rabbis, some places they understand it's referring to the shul, and that's why it's brought in here. But some places they understand it talking about the Jewish home. How good are your tents refers to the Jewish home, how nice they are. And they're really both. And I think if I would title this this segment, I would say we're going to try to figure out how the shul is much closer to the home than you would think, and the home is much closer to the shul than you would think. That's not a good title, but we're going to work on that. We're going to chew that over. We'll keep reading. I with a lot of your, again, these are psukim, but let's just translate them. With a lot of your kindness, I come to your house. I bow to your holy home, b'yirasecha, with fear of you. And I think that is one element that a shul is supposed to do. It's hard at home to focus and to appreciate. The number one rule in davening is that remember that you're talking to Hashem, because that's what you're doing. That's something that's hard to do when you're at home on your dining room table, so much going on, so much distraction. You come to a shul, it's very Hashem-focused. Okay, there's the Aron in the front of the shul, and that contains the Torah, which is the word of Hashem. That should help you focusing on Hashem, that everything around you in the shul should be focusing on Hashem. So it's easier to inspire fear. Hashem, ahavtim om beisecha, Hashem, I love your home, umekom mishkan kvodecha, and the place of your dwelling. Vani eshtachave ve'achra'a, and I bow, and I, another word for bowing, evrcha, actually they all mean bowing. The Gemara deals, one is more bowing with the head, with the back, and one is with the knees, down on your knees. But I bow, and I bow with them, lifnei Hashem osi, before the one Hashem who made me. Okay, so we tried to translate that, that I'm bowing. And it actually brings in two elements there, and I think both of them are in the shul, if you notice. So in the second pasuk, it says, I bow to Hashem, biyirasecha, with fearing you. And in the second one, and the third one, I should say, we say, Hashem, I love your home. And the home, the shul, meaning Hashem's home, should be inspiring our fear and our love. Those are two opposites, but they're not disagreeing with each other. They're two ways. They're like two wings of a bird that they're compared to, the love and the fear of Hashem. And when an animal has only one, or I think of it like when you're rowing a boat, if you only use one of your oars, you just go around in circles. But if you use both of your oars, that's how you can propel forward. So if you have your Ava, your love, and your Yira, and your fear together working nicely, that is how you move forward in life. Now, fear has a bad rap. It shouldn't. We'll deal with that eventually. But let's just take that at face value. So I once heard an idea, very, very beautiful, that, and I mentioned this in the past and other settings, that if you look at other religions, their places of worship, what do you feel? The structure, the architecture is supposed to give you a certain feel. So you go to these huge vaulted ceilings. The idea is to show you how big God is. That's where you feel. You're like, wow, awesome. I'm in awe of God. And when you come to a shul, what do you feel? Well, it's funny that our shul here in Philadelphia is when I tell people where our shul is, I give them the address, and I said, it doesn't look like a shul from the outside. It looks like a house from the outside. And many shuls are like that. They look like, they were houses, and now they've been transformed into shuls. That's not weird for a shul. That's actually very normal, because when you come into a shul, you emphasize much more the home, and you don't feel how great, or it's not as much of a focus of how great God is, but how close God is. Just like in a home with your family members, how close we feel to Hashem. And really, in halacha, in Jewish law, if you look about a shul, they're supposed to do both of those things. A shul does inspire awe, and there is amount of respect that we're supposed to have in a shul, where you come in and not really supposed to talk about other things, not supposed to engage in business. There's a way you don't run around in a shul. But at the same time, we know the shul is called the home, and it feels like the home, and it's supposed to be like that. So it has these two aspects, and you see both of those aspects right here in Matovu. That's what we're starting our day with. I come into the shul, and I say, wow, I'm in a shul, and why am I coming to shul? Like we got back to, if the main focus of the Judaism is the home, where does the shul come into play? And the answer is, the shul is a place that inspires me, one, to fear God and be able to focus on my prayers, and also come to a loving, close place to Hashem. And we're going to discuss that more as we go on, that two parts of my relationship with Hashem. Never forget how awesome and how great He is, and at the same time, how close and accessible and how much He cares about us in a very, very personal way. Let's read one more line, and then we'll get to the home. Vani tfilasi, which is the last line of this paragraph. Vani tfilasi. You have to really look at the context over there to understand this. Sometimes people translate this as ani tfilasi David. It's a prayer from Psalms where David was talking. He said, I am prayer. and that's more of a deeper meaning to it. The simple meaning is va'ani, but as for me, which means if you look at the previous sentence, he's talking about his enemies and how they have different ways of interacting with him. And David says, I don't respond to them. I turn like David always did in his lifetime. I should say a lot of our prayers, our davening, is going to come from David HaMelech, and we'll be learning about David, King David, and why he played such an important role in our davening. But this line is from him. He says, whatever other people do, whenever they interact, I turn to Hashem. Tfilasi lecha Hashem, my prayers are to you. Eis ratzon, at a time of desire. The Gemara says, and I think this is the key reason why, one of the reasons why we bring this in, what is a time of desire? When is Hashem desirable, desire us? So the Gemara says that it's at the time that the community is praying, when everyone else is praying. So to come with everyone else, that is the desirable time. Elokim b'rav chasdecha, Hashem, with your abundant kindness, aneini be'emes yishacha, answer me be'emes, with truthfulness, yishacha, your salvation. Okay, so your true salvation, or something like your truth-based salvation. All right, so that is the davening here. So again, I want to focus more on the theme. The theme is that I'm coming to shul, I'm walking into shul, and I'm appreciating the shul and the setting that it gives, the love that it gives, the closeness that it gives, and the awe and the fear. So now I can be ready to daven. Let's talk about the home. I guess I'm not going to get as far as I thought this week. We're not going to get into the next song, although that's really a very important, beautiful song. The home. So where does the home play in this? So what if I am davening at home? Where is that okay? Can I still say this? And I think, very simply, we just have to take the elements that we spoke about that a shul gives and try to bring that into your home. Try to find a home that is a place in your home. Well, ideally your whole home, but at least when you're coming to daven, you're coming to pray in your home. Traditionally, people find a spot that they daven in, and they usually use that same spot over and over. That's their place of davening. One, that place now becomes holy, and it becomes intention giving. You're able to focus a lot easier by going to that same spot. But also, when I would design that spot, I would find a spot that is God-focused. Now, what does that mean? Well, interesting. You think about your house. Where's the most God-focused place? I would say around your Jewish books, around your Svarim, if you have. If you don't have, start working on that Jewish library. Like we know in a shul, the focus of the shul is the Aron, is the Aron, the ark in the front, which in the focus of that is the Torah, which is our values. That's what we live by. We live by our values. And so your Jewish books have your values. So that is a good place. You don't want to be a place near distracting things, bad things, or actually even Jewish laws. We don't daven, obviously, nor near any kind. You see, because we have such a hate and a distaste towards idols, we won't even pray any near pictures. We won't pray directly looking, excuse me, into a picture of some sort of portrait, or even into a mirror. Very important. We don't pray into a mirror because it looks almost like we're praying to ourselves or something like that. I wouldn't pray near a computer or a television where those things can be very distracting, and they're just not a place that are pure. For Jewish people, a nice pure place is your dining room table, where you have your Shabbos meals, near your books, maybe your living room, where you have quality family time. The point is to carve a place out and bring the shul into your home. Make your home a holy place, focused on God, focused on Hashem, and that is possible too. And then there's nothing inherent about a shul. And like we said, we're trying to actually bring some of the aspects of home into the shul. So we also want to bring some of the aspects of the shul into the home. And you can make your home what's called a mikdash ma'at, a small temple, and you can make it a holy place, whatever else is going on in your life. And sometimes people live in homes where not even everyone's religious. And so you're really doing this on your own. But for your little spot, I remember talking to children whose parents are not religious and they're trying to come closer to Hashem. So that's okay. It's not your home. You shouldn't take over the home. You have no right to make any kind of changes in that home. When you build your own home, you can build it as you'd like. But as long as you're a guest in your parents' home, you have to be respectful. But sometimes you can carve out a little space that's just your own where you can focus on what's important to you. You can focus on Hashem, and that's a very good place to daven. And that's what we should think about when we start this first prayer. Okay, so please send me feedback how you like this new format. I thought we were going to get a little further, but we will get to our next song, which is very, very important, very fundamental, theological. We're going to be discussing Hashem a little bit and our attitude and our little bit of our understanding of Hashem as much as we can. But I hope you enjoyed this discussion of this first paragraph slash song of Mat Tovu and our appreciation and our focus as we enter a shul. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. For questions, comments, and sponsorship opportunities, please email us at rabbilindenbaum@gmail.com. We'll see you next week.